Welcome to season 3, episode number 11. 311 of The Grand Cast. Today is Friday, September the 8th, 2017. My guest this evening, Angelica Lee.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Of course.
I like to start out each episode by going over the mission statement and the goals for the show so that people know what they're getting into. And the mission statement is that the purpose of the Grand Cast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017 through a series of conversations. And then I have two goals. First goal is to post one new episode weekly, which on average, I have.
That's a good goal.
Yeah. Sometimes it comes in spurts, but
all good things come in spurts. That's what I always say.
I heard that before. From my grandmother.
Yeah. Well, the best advice comes from grandmas.
Generally, there's a lot of wisdom that comes from decades of making mistakes.
Yeah. That's right. They're very old.
A lot of mistakes under their belts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have your second goal?
Second goal is to make at least two people's day better through the creation of quality content.
Oh my goodness. It used to just be one person, right?
Yes. Wow. Today is the very first day that I've stepped up my goal to make at least two people's
day. Do you count yourself?
Yes.
You do. Okay, good. You should. You should count yourself, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's through content. Specifically this show.
Audio content. Okay. Being published as The Grand Cast.
Okay. It's not just you sharing content with anyone. It's this show that you want to make people feel good about. Okay. That's a good goal, specific to your objective.
This Monday was Labor Day, so I'm going to start out with a little excerpt on Labor Day. What does that mean? Labor Day in the United States is a public holiday celebrated on the first Monday in September. It honors the American labor movement and the contributions that workers have made to the strength, prosperity, laws, and well-being of the country. Being the United States of America. The labor or trade union movement consists of the collective organization of working people developed to represent and campaign for better working conditions and treatment from their employers and by the implementation of labor and employment laws, their governments. The standard unit of organization is the trade union. A review conducted by the federal government on pay scale shows that employees in a labor union earn up to 33% more income than their non-union counterparts.
Damn.
As well as having more job security and safer and higher quality work conditions. Sounds pretty good.
It does. I gotta get into a union.
Right? Sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into the interview portion of the show, Angelica.
Yes, sir.
What is your favorite color?
My favorite color? Usually I gravitate towards blue. But I don't know that I have a favorite. I've actually never been a fan of favorites in general. I don't like to pigeonhole myself.
Like, what does that mean?
You know those questions like when you have to give your password and they give you those question options?
Yes.
I can never choose what's your favorite because I just don't assume it's going to stay the same.
It doesn't.
You know?
I still don't understand what pigeonholed means.
Oh, pigeonhole. Well, I don't know where it comes from, but it just means, you know, being in a hole you can't get out of.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which, I don't know, probably happens to pigeons because they got big bodies.
Huh. I've never seen a pigeon in a hole, but maybe, I guess I don't look in that many holes to...
Yeah. They're not in every hole.
They could be full of pigeons, I guess.
Holes. Yeah.
I'm going to have to...
And if they are, they're probably stuck, is the lesson there.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my great aunt, I met her in Germany last spring and or last fall, and her son was a competitive pigeon master, I guess. I don't know. They trained pigeons to deliver messages during the war, and then they just kept the sport going. Huh. So into like the 80s, they were still winning awards for getting the most pigeons. The 1980s, yeah. Getting the most pigeons to come into their hole.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's a little fun fact about my family.
That is fun. Is there a particular shade of blue that you enjoy the most?
I actually like several shades together. I'm a monochromatic kind of person. Am I wearing blue today? This is a nice shade. Kind of a sky blue, but a little bit more unique.
That looks gray to me, but I'm like three quarters dog. So.
Okay. Well, trust me. It's blue.
Hmm.
Yeah. So no, I don't have a favorite shade of blue.
That is nice. Is that a cardigan? Is that the...
I wouldn't call it a cardigan, but I don't have a name for it. It's not a sweater either. It's more of a business cardigan, I guess. It has a little more structure to it than a regular cardigan.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. You can go to a business meeting in it and feel powerful.
I don't go to meetings.
You don't go to... Yeah. That's why I wear it.
I avoid meetings at all costs.
That's smart.
Unless food is provided, in which case, sign me up.
Okay.
That's my loophole.
I'm going to write that down.
Uh-oh. I shouldn't have given that away.
No, well, you're going to add it to the union rules. Food provided.
Yep. If you had to be transformed into an animal, which type of animal would you choose to be?
Which type of animal?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a specific animal or like a genre?
A genre of animal. I don't know what it would be on the like the kingdom, phylum, class, order.
Because I don't know anything about that. So.
Species? What species of animal?
Well, I would definitely want to be a bird. Mm. I think that seems like the most. You can get a lot of private time, but you can also get in. You know, I have that history of pigeons in my family too, so
yeah,
it seems to. It feels like home.
So with birds, the sky's the limit.
Exactly. That's right.
I did that just for the listening audience. I rang the bell. That wasn't any sort of affirmation.
Although I do affirm you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just not with bells.
I need that Pavlovian conditioning. I played a lot of video games
growing up.
Would
you be a dog?
So.
Oh, you played video games.
Yep. I'm basically programmed like a robot to respond to repetitive stimuli.
Oh, that's good to know. I'm going to add that too to the list.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Repetitive stimuli.
Giving away the farm today.
This is good for the union rules that we're developing.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It's good. So you would be a dog? Is that... Are you willing to be pigeonholed into that answer?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
I know you have a lot of dog comedy, so I didn't know how deep that love went.
That's a bit.
That's a bit, okay.
Yeah, it's just a topic that I'm very familiar with.
Got it. It's good stuff.
Broad appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say bird, but I wouldn't want to choose a single type, so I'd want to have variety.
Hmm.
You know? Maybe a falcon for a year would be nice.
Oh, you'd want to rotate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But stay within the bird.
Well, it sounded like that was the proposition of the question, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What is your earliest memory of experiencing comedy?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Well, I'm sure that there are memories before this. I used to, when I was in junior high, watch SNL and then walk around on recess with my friend Kara and just quote as much as we could remember from the weekend.
Kara Williams?
No.
Oh.
My friend Kara Kessler from St. Peter and Paul, Ionia, Michigan.
That sounds Catholic?
It was Catholic, yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was the way, that's what I did in recess. Instead of playing basketball, I just walked around quoting SNL. And then in junior high, in eighth grade, they wanted to do, my class wanted to do a, for the talent show, they wanted to do a performance of Mandy Moore's song Candy.
Mm.
And so all the girls were supposed to have a choreographed dance.
Isn't that a pretty suggestive song?
It was. And that was...
The double entendres probably went over your head.
I think it went over my head, But not, I knew I felt uncomfortable. I didn't know why. I just knew I felt uncomfortable. But everyone else seemed very comfortable with it. So that made me even more uncomfortable. And so I instead of refusing, I just, you know, offered a better idea, what I thought was a better idea. So I convinced my eighth grade class to do, put on a probably like 20 minute production of SNL sketches. So I went to Family Video, got a bunch of tapes, wrote down everything from the sketches and produced, you know, a good, probably like 6 or 7 sketches with my eighth grade class. And the kindergartners through seventh graders loved it. It was a huge hit. It was called Live from St. Peter and Paul. This is Friday Morning, was the name of that show. So
that sounds vague enough to avoid any sort of copyright issues.
Yeah, there weren't any agents on, you know, scoping it out or anything, but
yeah, it was before everybody iPhoned everything straight to the YouTube.
We would have gotten in a lot of trouble otherwise. I mean, everything was stolen from the show. So
was a good artist borrow, great artist steal, something like that. Was that Banksy? Or Banksy probably stole the quote, and then
I'm sure he stole the quote. He's a really good artist.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the documentary Exit Through the Gift Shop?
No, but I'm interested. It's and I also want to know where they entered.
Kind of about Banksy.
Okay.
I think they entered through an art gallery.
Okay.
If I'm recalling. This was a while ago. It was on Netflix. I don't know if it still is. Very good documentary, though.
Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Okay. About Banksy and this whole other crazy dude.
Well, now I have to watch it. I don't even know.
Highly recommend it.
Exit Through the Gift Shop. I'm writing it down. All right.
She is literally writing it down.
I'm a note taker.
You've already taken a prodigious amount of notes.
I do. I have like kind of a memory problem. So if I don't write it down, I will like forget where I am.
Yeah, me too. I just use my phone. Note app on there.
That's good.
It's great.
Yeah, I'm definitely I'll just throw this piece of paper away after this is over, so.
Oh. Will you recycle it or just straighten the
trash? It depends on how your apartment's set up. I don't know.
There's a brown paper bag for recycling.
For recycling, okay.
And they do take paper and cardboard.
All right, yeah, so. I can do that.
All right.
Happy to contribute.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
How did you first get involved in performing comedy as, like, out in the public?
In public.
Space.
Other than eighth grade
Other
talent
than,
show?
Post-high school. How about
that? Post-high school. Okay. It was really in Grand Rapids. So I lived in Chicago for about 5 years after college. And I wasn't in performance at all. I've always been a huge comedy fan, but never had the courage to get on stage. I definitely had the interest. And so I would go to I.O. all the time and had some friends who performed there. But moved to Grand Rapids in 2013 and was working an office job, and then started kind of being more interested in the art scene in general. And then I found out about Funny Girls, so I've been a member of Funny Girls since about January of 2016, maybe? This is 2017 this year, right? So yeah, so I'm
on the Gregorian calendar.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you were referring to?
That was my first thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to assume people's calendars.
That's good, yeah. I'm going to write that down too, Gregorian.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we use the Roman alphabet if you don't want to assume people's alphabets.
No, I've been using Chinese letters this whole time.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll edit it though before I throw it away.
Will you edit Minton it?
Edit Minton?
Edit Minton it?
I don't know what that means.
The word mint, M-I-N-T.
Edit mint?
Edit Minton it?
Edit mint in it? I haven't
edit
written that word
it.
Down, but I can write it down and then I can edit it. Mint. Okay. It's on there.
It is.
Yeah. So anyway, so I found out about Funny Girls and I had made a pact with myself in 2015, around this time. To start saying yes to things that scared me. And so I started listening for the things in my life that I was like really wanted to do but was too scared to try. And comedy was one of those things. So
were you inspired by the Jim Carrey film Yes Man?
I was, coincidentally enough, I was inspired by the Shonda Rhimes book, Year of Yes.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Is that what Yes Man was based on?
I probably not. No, but I mean, the concept of Yes is pretty similar.
Hmm.
I imagine they, you know, got some similar themes. So, yeah. So I was terrified to perform and force myself. I actually had a rule where, because I even after I made that pact with myself, I still wasn't doing things I was scared of. So then I had to make another rule where if someone explicitly asked me to do that thing, I had to say yes. Mm. And so then I found myself kind of constructing, trying to get people to ask me to do stuff. So I emailed Erin Betka and kind of forced her to ask me to join Funny Girls. And then I started performing mostly at Calm. That's where I got started.
Comedy Outlet Mondays at Dog Story Theater.
That's right.
Went back 7 p.m. on Mondays.
Yeah, 7 p.m. is a show, and then the jam is at 8, so...
$5 for the show. Jam is free. Open to anyone.
That's right. So, yeah, I got started there, and...
There's a house troupe now.
Is there?
Yeah, they're starting to practice after the jam.
Oh, cool.
So 9 p.m. Mondays.
Good to know.
You can just show up and practice, and eventually, if you stick with it and improve, then...
Are you saying that to me specifically, or is that a general announcement to your audience?
Literally, I'm saying it to you, but figuratively, it is an announcement.
Okay, I just want to make sure they know they're invited. You're not just telling me.
It's open to anyone.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I do need to improve. I'm very aware.
Yeah. People have said specifically, we want Angelica in this troupe.
But
that's the word on the street.
Stick around and improve. No, okay.
No, that's just if you want to be in the troupe.
Yeah, I am looking for a troupe right now because I need some more consistent improv in my life.
Well, there you go. 9 p.m. Mondays.
I'll check it out. Yeah.
Dog Story Theater.
So that's where I got my start, at Calm. After living in the second city for 5 years, Grand Rapids was my home.
What was living in Chicago like?
It was great. I was in my early 20s, so I feel like I grew up there. I moved there to do a program where I lived in a convent with 12 people, and we all volunteered at different places, and then we kind of lived together and made dinner together. And, so my job for 5 years while I was there was to visit older adults who didn't have family. And so I just spent 5 years taking people to the grocery store, out to lunch, trying to convince them not to order what I ordered, because I was always trying to get them to order the most expensive thing on the menu.
Hmm.
And that's actually where I started doing improv, was with older adults who had Alzheimer's. And I realized quickly it was a lot more enjoyable for them if I kind of built an environment and played along than kind of forcing them into reality that I was in, you know? So it was good. It was a really good time I got to know the city really well, drove around for my job. So I knew lots of secret corners that most people don't, off the beaten track. So it was a good time.
Are old people easy to work with?
It really depends. Hmm. Just think of anyone you know who's your age or any age. Like some people are easy to work with and some people aren't. And generally speaking, I knew most of the people I knew after they were at least 70, so I didn't get a chance to know them as younger people, but you could tell usually that person had been that way, whatever way they were, for most of their life, and it accumulated. So, yeah, they're just like, just like every other group of people, some people are enjoyable and easy to work with, and some, you have to... just pray that they move out of your district and someone else has to visit them, So, which happened a few times, thankfully. But most of them were really enjoyable because I'm just fascinated by, the details of people's lives and what makes them who they are, so.
Hmm.
But you have to make fun of it, Make fun out of it, not make fun of it.
Yeah. I've thought about doing an old person podcast. Where
with old people,
local comedians go to retirement homes and get the story of
I'd be down
the person for that week's episode.
I love it. Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's fascinating because people love to tell their story, and a lot of people
they do. I've noticed that.
Have you? Yeah, it was interesting. I always thought it was interesting to visit people who like I didn't know them in a prior life, and so I was just starting at 75, you know, and oftentimes I was visiting people who got referred, who were in nursing homes who didn't have family and didn't have, their mental faculties. So it's like you're like learning a version of someone that they've never even, that person has never known because they've changed mm-hmm. through, you know, usually Alzheimer's. And then there was no family around to kind of inform you of who they were. So it was just like this crazy fresh start for all of you, that, you know, made for interesting interactions because you were discovering life together, kind of.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Funny Girls.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. What do you want to know?
I'm not actually asking let's talk about it.
Oh, okay.
I'm asking please talk about it.
Okay.
I just like the way let's talk about it sounds, but it's a pretty consistent point of confusion.
Is it?
So I might be redoing for season 4.
Okay. Let's talk about it. Maybe just go to talk about it.
Okay. Just drop the let's. Well, I would say please.
Please, yeah.
I want to be polite about it.
That's, yeah. So you want me to talk about it?
Yes, please.
Because I'd be interested to hear you talk about it too. Yeah, Funny Girls is a community of all female identifying comedians in Grand Rapids. And they got started in 2015 after the improv festival. And some women just noticed that there weren't that many groups that had a lot of women in it, and there weren't any that had all women. And so they just formed this collective. It's been evolving slowly. You know, it's a collective that's made up of the people in it. So, and it's all about making a space for women who, are funny or who want to be funny to kind of find their voice. Which is why I got into it, because I was super shy, before I joined. And which was kind of hard to believe. I was very like boisterous in a lot of settings where I was comfortable. But anytime I was like, even at work in like a leadership setting, I was very unconfident. And so that space has for me been a place where I can kind of, you know, just learn, be comfortable enough to like learn who I am just for me. And that has made me a lot more comfortable in other spaces that aren't all women. So the thing I like about it, like I'm definitely a diverse kind of performer. I like to be in a lot of different spaces. So I'm not like satisfied by one type of comedy or one, you know, set of comedians. But I really enjoy that there's a space for people to kind of enter the conversation who want to be in a space surrounded by women where they know that, you know, how I like to say it, like if someone's talking over you, it's another woman. It's usually me. I'm usually the one talking over people at our meetings. And that's just, you know, that's not an insult to men. It's just kind of a common reality that, you know, when there's a lot of people in the room and the majority of voices are not female, it's sometimes hard to get your voice heard. So at
people
least we know.
Respond to the baritones more than the, like the treble, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to hear when there's a lot of noise.
Oh, really?
The signal's more distinct.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that from your dog training? Do you know that?
I just made that up, but okay. It sounds like it might be true.
Yeah. I'd be interested to investigate that.
Probably just everyone is sexist is
maybe
the more likely explanation.
Yeah.
It's more psychologically satisfying, at least.
Yeah. So, but the thing I like about it is that it, you know, it just is, makes it pretty clear in our space that there are funny women, and not that they all need to be in that group. There's tons of funny women who are not in Funny Girls, and we are all about supporting them in their own spaces, and also all, you know, other comedians who aren't women. So that's it was an interesting way to come into comedy, and definitely a good kind of foundation for me to build some confidence.
Let's talk about performing stand-up.
Okay. You mean me talk about it?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so stand-up is something I'm fairly new at. I started doing it, I think, at a Funny Girls show a little over a year ago was my first set. And I had started, that was actually like my introduction to comedy in Grand Rapids. I was on a treadmill at work. The old work I had used to have these treadmills that had computers attached to them. So I was walking and working, and had a spark of inspiration for some content that I wanted to do on stage, and I had no outlet for it. And then I started writing. I do a lot of stand up in the car when I'm driving. I just talk to myself.
Yep.
A lot of people do that.
Yep.
So it took me about probably 6 months before I got on stage, and then I've been doing it pretty regularly. I'm starting to try to do some more open mics because I've been doing most of my stand up at our monthly Funny Girls shows, but I'm looking to get some more, you know, broad experience, and starting to work on some new material and just kind of figure out what I think is interesting and funny. I think it's a fun process for me, and somewhat of a terrifying process, but fun to, you know, kind of think about what I think is funny and then try to figure out how to make it funny for an audience who isn't inside of my brain. And that's been the biggest challenge, but it's a really good exercise.
When you said broad content about working more with Funny Girls, was that an intentional pun?
Broad? No. It wasn't. No. I'm sorry.
When I said that, I didn't think that maybe broad could be like some sort of derogatory term from the past.
I don't know. I don't know the history of that word. I'm comfortable with it. So it wasn't intentional.
There's a lot of weird words like that that were like bad slang before, and people hear it out of context and they just use the phrase again.
Mm-hmm.
Like scumbag.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
No, but what I heard, I don't know how people determine. Is it entomology of words? Like where words come from?
Yeah, that entomology, I think, is about words, or it's about bugs.
Oh. Whatever the word is that means the origin of words, what I heard at least was scumbag was term for used condom.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, as far as an origin goes.
But I had no clue that would have been what it meant. I just thought it was just like someone who was kind of a dick.
Well, what kind of scum did you think they were talking about? That was like in a bag?
Pond scum?
Pond scum in a bag?
I didn't think about the individual components of the word at all.
Yeah. Well, that's what entomology got you, that place, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that one down. Scumbag.
Probably a lot of words that I've used that had less than savory origins, and now like the colloquial meaning is just completely detached.
Yeah, I don't know what the origin of broad is. I mean, it can't be great, but it's like...
Yeah, I think of like noir movies or something, like a detective, or maybe like the 20s. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I think of it.
You don't even know. We need more information.
Yep. For watching, do you prefer improv, stand-up, or sketch comedy?
For watching?
Mm-hmm. As an audience member. Is that a better way to phrase it?
It sounded a little creepy when you said it the first time.
For watching?
For watching, yeah. It just,
why?
I don't know. It felt like more like voyeuristic.
Hmm.
But that was just, I don't know. I was in an entomological.
That's on you.
That's definitely on me. Yeah. Yeah. I have to talk to my therapist about that.
I do like the way as an audience member sounds better because it's an alliteration.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I
was told that's important.
Who told you that?
Mrs. Van Proyen, my honors English teacher.
Okay. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Honors.
Drop the H.
That's good. Did you take AP English?
No.
Okay. I took it, but I didn't pass the test.
The other option was like a double world literature, just reading like tons and tons of books.
Did you just read it twice for double world literature?
There was one and two, which were two separate individual.
There's a lot to read.
Yeah. One time I heard that you're supposed to... Well, not you're supposed to, but a lot of things you experience three times in your life, like when you're young, and then like middle age, as you have more experience to get more perspective on the thing, and then when you're old.
Intentionally, or that's just like life brings it to you somehow?
It's kind of life, but also That's a way to like intentionally experience films or novels that are significant to you.
That's good. I've been wanting to rewatch Rugrats for that reason, to get a new perspective on it.
Yeah.
Did you watch Rugrats?
I did. And there's probably a lot of double entendres or like deeper meanings that I didn't even understand.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was pretty formative for me because one of the main characters was named Angelica and she was like a super bitch.
She was the older sister.
Yeah. And I actually didn't go by Angelica until 2016. Because I think when I was a kid, because she was just like not liked at all by the child community.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the guts to stand up to that. So I missed a lot of life as Angelica, which is, you know, kind of a big name to live up to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to rewatch it because I think maybe she was cast in a darker light than she was, but also I think there's something about her personality that I should embody. There's some good things there, as you know, she's.
She always had all the toys, right? Wasn't that the thing?
She had everything.
Just spoiled rotten.
Well, that's how it was framed. So I don't know. Yeah. I need to rewatch it before I have a new adult perspective on it.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I'm going to reserve judgment until I...
Camera was telling lies?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, it wasn't. It was animated. But...
Did Michael Moore direct it?
Maybe one episode.
Ah. There's probably a writer on it. Uncredited, I would guess.
Uncredited, yeah.
Yeah. That's the liberal media for you.
Right. No. No credit.
Always colluding and misleading.
So much collusion.
Fake news.
I heard about it.
Yep.
I don't know if it's real or not.
It sounds plausible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also sounds kind of fake.
So does global warming. Like, it's what, like 50 degrees out?
In September.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hard to take any one day and then use that as an argument against global warming.
It's really easy.
It's easy, but it's hard to stand behind. But you like to leave the room if people start getting loud so that you have that on your favor.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just something I know about you.
It's true.
Yeah. I don't know if your audience knows that, though.
Now they do.
Now they do. If people get loud, Chris likes to walk away and be quiet in order to model proper behavior.
Polite behavior.
Polite behavior. I'm going to write that one down, too.
Are you comfortable with silence?
Are you trying to say that because I've been filling so much of it?
No, that's a question I wrote down here.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't want to spoil the rest of the questions, but...
Was this a note, a book I was supposed to use? There's like a poem on the back of it.
Nope, those are rules for a game.
Oh, cool.
A dice game that I made. But I have a lot of copies of the rules, and that was the first revision. They're not very good.
Okay.
So I'm going to use them up as notepads.
Cool. Your question was, am I okay with silence?
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely trained myself to be.
Was that difficult?
I was completely comfortable.
Well done.
Thank you. But it was for the comedy this time.
Oh.
This one I lost my train of thought.
That's an interesting phrase.
Train of thought?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because trains have an end. There's a caboose. That's the end of the train.
Okay. And they're on a track, so... But I guess if you get off track, you would have said you lost your train of thought. Maybe those phrases go together.
They're both train references.
They are. And
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It implies a finite length. I don't it like does. That. It makes me uncomfortable.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
More uncomfortable than silence?
I like silence.
You like silence. Oh, okay.
I can't think when there's so many... outside noises.
That's true.
It's distracting.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think probably visiting older adults in Chicago got me comfortable with silence because I would have to visit people for like probably like 4 hours when I would take them to events. Sometimes longer. I'd like go pick them up at like 10:30,
taken PM?
AM. Oh. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Wow. I was almost startled.
Yeah.
AM
wow.
makes sense.
I would like to do that. I'd like
You're
to meet
taking
some
them
people.
To like rock concerts and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I wish. The casino was like the wildest place I took people usually. Ooh. Yeah.
Often?
As often as they could get there. It was
when their social yeah. security checks came in.
Yeah, probably. That was yeah.
Did they mostly play slot machines or table games?
I never played with anyone who played table games, but I'm intimidated by table games, so I probably would have.
They're so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're a poker player.
Formerly.
Formerly? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you not talk about it?
No.
Okay.
It was the past.
Don't talk
or
about
it. Or it is
the past.
It
was. It is still the past.
It's still the past.
Yeah. So when I visited people for like 6 hours at a time, I had usually like 10 questions I would ask, like standard questions.
Yeah.
And I would try to make those stretch for a long time. So I got really comfortable with silence. Because I learned at the beginning that if I asked all those questions up front, I would have nothing else to talk about, you know?
Yeah. What was your favorite slot machine?
There was one with a panda bear that I was very lucky on, but I found it once and won like $100 and I could never find it again.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mysterious.
It was it's like a phantom slot machine.
I like gambling a lot.
You do?
Yeah.
I can tell you've perked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might call it a compulsion.
Do you call it a compulsion?
I wouldn't.
Okay. Well, you know, the first sign of a problem is admitting you have it, so you're not there yet.
I'm over it.
There's a lot of silence for a podcast.
I think it's better that way.
Okay. It's your show. I'm happy to oblige. I can be quiet as long as...
It's not my show. I'm just the host.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that true? Whose show is it? Is it our show?
The show was there. I'm just the medium through which it's expressing itself.
Yeah. That's profound.
Sounds profound. It doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, it doesn't actually make sense.
Like most things. What are some of your all-time favorite comedic movies?
That's a good question. Comedic movies, like
movies that make you laugh,
that make
I guess.
Me laugh. I grew up, I had older siblings, an older brother, so that influenced a lot of my movie choices growing up. So I grew up on Tommy Boy, Black Sheep? That was a sequel?
Yes.
Yes. Wayne's World. Kind of those classic SNL-driven actors turned... Well, I guess they're still actors if they're in a movie. Those were good. I liked Stepmom. Thought that was hilarious.
Stepmom?
You never saw that?
Maybe. Who was in it?
Julia Roberts and Susan Sarandon.
Nope.
Never saw it?
Nope.
No? It's not funny at all. Actually, the mom has cancer and she dies, but...
Oh, my.
Yeah. It's pretty intense. That was a test.
Of?
I don't know. Your familiarity with Susan Sarandon movies?
That didn't sound like a comedy.
It wasn't. Yeah, no.
But you laughed at it?
Just that is a coping mechanism.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah, so my question was too vague.
It was too, yeah. Mm. Sorry.
No, that's fine. It's my fault.
No, that's fine. Gosh, I wish I'd thought about that more before I got here. I think I've never been a big movie person, unfortunately.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't really have a long attention span.
Yet. I think it's like a muscle.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Like that's most really things, good news.
Yeah. Like, I believe... pretty strongly that pretty much anyone can learn pretty much anything given enough time and effort.
Okay. I believe that too, but you made it sound like a lot of work.
It's all relative.
That's true.
It's less work than learning how to build rocket ships, but people
watching
still
movies.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Whether it's a worthy endeavor or not. Nah.
It is. It's something I actually am trying to do more of, watching movies.
It's one of the richest expressions of our culture,
look
I think.
Wow.
As a species.
Write that down. Richest expressions, that's good. What's your favorite comedy movie?
Oh, boy. That's a good question.
Have you ever been asked it before?
Probably.
Okay.
My memory is not great for a lot of things. It's really good at some things.
It sounds like it.
Not so great at a lot of other things.
Like making up games, right? That's like your forte?
Nope, just a hobby.
All right. When is, you wouldn't call it a forte?
Like Will Forte?
Similar.
He's a funny actor.
He is funny. Has he been in any movies? MacGruber.
Yeah.
You like that one?
That was funny.
It was good.
I didn't even watch MacGyver very much. I mean...
Oh, you didn't?
No.
I was a big MacGyver fan growing up. Oh. Mm-hmm. MacGyver like and Matlock.
MacGruber?
Yeah, I like MacGruber. Yeah. I love Will Forte, so...
Yeah. You watch Last Man on Earth at all?
Only a little bit. I don't like Kristen Schaal very much.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. I saw her live in Chicago a few years ago. And I don't know. I've never vibed with her comedy. Hmm. Nothing against her personally. That was a long pause. It felt long.
What are some of your all-time favorite TV shows?
TV shows. I grew up on Roseanne. That was like my favorite TV show because it was the first family I saw on TV that fought. And I was like really happy to know I wasn't alone. So that's like a classic for me. News Radio was like probably my favorite TV show that I can like just watch any episode of, especially with the episodes with Phil Hartman.
And Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan, yes. Andy Dick.
Joe Rogan is one of my role models.
Is he?
I would say.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about him? Is he a gambler?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so. Not that I know of. He's just very open-minded. Like he'll consider people's arguments for any point and learn different aspects of things before he makes any sort of judgment or decision. And he's always willing to change his mind.
I like that too, yeah. He doesn't, like, come off that way if you don't know that about him, though.
If you only saw him on Fear Factor or as a UFC announcer.
Yeah.
But his podcast is very thoughtful, and he has quite a wide variety of guests on.
Okay.
And manages to have good conversations with all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was good on News Radio.
He's a very talented stand-up comedian, actually. He's got a few specials on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Joe Rogan. It's a good plug.
Joe Rogan Experience podcast all day.
All right. I'm going to write that down, but I'm going to abbreviate.
JRE is. Mm-hmm. Yep. That'll find it.
That'll find it.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. I'm kind of running out of steam here. So, yeah, I loved News Radio. I was a huge fan of like Andy Dick and Phil Hartman's chemistry. Other comedy shows. I'm a huge Parks and Rec fan as well. Amy Poehler is just like a genius, and the writers on that show. And I'd have to think about that one more because I don't want to commit to anything I don't feel like I can stand behind.
That was enough.
Okay.
What streaming shows are you currently watching?
Streaming shows, that means like it wasn't on...
Netflix, YouTube, Amazon Prime, I suppose Hulu, Vimeo, HBO Go or Now or whatever it is.
Okay. Currently watching Rick and Morty.
So good.
So good. Trying to catch up. I'm in the second season.
Oh.
Yeah.
You've got...
You're some in good for, stuff ahead.
Yeah.
Right.
The season's been very good also.
The third season?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just found out about it recently. So
there's a comic book also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
They're like 28, 29 issues deep. And there's been two spinoffs.
Does it follow the same plot and the same storylines?
The same structure, I would say. Same characters.
Got it.
Completely different like scenarios.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Very good writing also.
Nice.
And some interesting artwork.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. Zach Gorman did a lot of their writing.
Okay.
From Magical Game Time. It's a very innovative web comic that used like a traditional comic format, like the structure of the cells and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But one or two or several of the cells would be animated.
Oh, and on the web format?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was like a GIF, and then they were all, well, almost all of them were video game themed. I think all of them were.
Okay.
Like classic video game.
Got it.
A lot of Nintendo stuff.
I really wish I had gotten into video games. I grew up with two older siblings who were really good at them.
It's never too late.
You're right.
Narrative-driven games or puzzle games are appealing to all ages.
That's true. That would be good for me. I just found out a couple years ago what narratives are, so.
Oh.
I'm still trying to catch up.
I just used the word. I'm not sure what it means. It's good copy, I think.
It's good, yeah. It is. Yeah. It's a buzzword right now.
Narrative, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like immersive and deep. Deep narratives.
Deep narratives.
Yeah.
Complex.
Rich.
Rich.
Rich narratives. Nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds I was just at a French or something.
It does. I was at a community meeting last night where the lady said, give us a narrative.
Yeah.
Which is a lot to ask.
You need a narrative to sell.
She was talking about her neighborhood, and I said, well, you need to write that narrative. You can't ask people to write it for you.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many little sub neighborhoods.
Exactly.
Like Uptown's got their neighborhood.
Yeah, you gotta tell your narrative. Own story. Where's Uptown?
Uptown is like between Michigan and Fulton, and then like north of, I don't know, college or something. By like Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, that's Uptown?
I think so.
Oh, cool. Grand Rapids has kind of convoluted neighborhoods. They're not really that well known or like distinct.
And then there's like Southtown and East Hills and East Grand Rapids, and they're all vaguely defined. There's Fulton Heights. That's a whole separate thing. That's a nice neighborhood.
That's a good neighborhood. I went to Aquinas, so I'm familiar.
What was that like?
Aquinas?
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I lived on campus all 4 years, so I had a very kind of insulated experience. I didn't really know anything about Grand Rapids. Anyway, I graduated in 2008, so it was a very different city at the time. And I mostly knew Aquinas, Easttown, and the Knapp's Corner Panera.
Oh.
Those are my hot spots.
Free Wi-Fi.
Free Wi-Fi, yeah. And by the movie theater.
Celebration North.
Celebration North. That's right.
Great movie theater.
It's so good.
$5 movies on Tuesdays.
Oh, really? I thought that was just at Woodland.
Nope.
Oh, good to know.
Every celebration. Yeah.
I guess I did know that. But yeah. That's common knowledge. I'm not going to write that down.
Oh. Maybe someone else will.
Okay.
I'm not.
You're not either.
Nope.
Yeah.
I have that memorized.
Tuesday's celebration. $5.
Every Tuesday. Not every movie. Oh. You can't go see an IMAX for $5.
Oh, you can see like fresh releases?
You can see most new releases.
Hmm.
Probably not like Disney films because they're dicks.
Oh, okay. But I would want to see those on
in my
DVD
opinion,
anyway.
I have to add in my opinion, otherwise they can sue me for libel or some shit.
Oh, if you say in my opinion, then
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, because fuck Disney, in my opinion.
I'm not going to say
it's
anything
a loophole.
About that.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have a...
Do you have a lawyer?
I was going to say a harem of lawyers, but
okay.
I don't know if... I don't want to offend the lawyers because they run everything.
Lawyers
everything.
Do?
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, so do harems, to be honest.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're probably,
a lot of similarities.
Yeah, they're probably colluding.
Hmm. It's a good theory.
Mm-hmm.
I think a conspiracy theory podcast might be fun.
About just about harems, maybe even.
Oh, very specialized.
Yeah.
Hmm. And lawyers?
I think they'd make an appearance, but I don't know that you'd want to tailor the whole thing around them.
Oh.
But that's my opinion. In my opinion, that I would say don't do it.
Probably not. What about as a sketch?
Oh, it's a sketch. You can do anything, in my opinion.
Hmm.
If you keep it to 5 minutes.
Is that... What kind of threshold is that?
5 minutes?
Yeah.
I think it's for like 15-year-olds. That's their threshold.
Human years?
Yeah, that's what I was referencing, but I'm willing to...
On the Gregorian calendar?
Yeah. People who use Roman letters for their first name. Usually.
On Earth. Because different planets have different year lengths. And...
Yeah, I mean, sketch on different planets is so different. It's crazy. That's why I waited to move to Grand Rapids before I got started.
Probably a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
What is comedy to you?
Like, what's funny, or what does comedy mean? As like a...
You
like
can interpret it however you like.
Entomologically? What's the word? Entomins?
Entomologically-wise?
So, comedy... Comedy to me is, I mean, for me, it's usually about being surprised in general. So I don't have like a strict definition of it. I'm not a huge slapstick person, but you know, if it's like supporting a story and surprises me in some way, I usually like pretty, I don't want to say intellectual comedy, but kind of, I'm not like a super lowbrow comedian.
The blue stuff?
Yeah.
Stay out of the blue.
Yeah. I mean, if it's... I usually just like kind of smart comedy. Stuff that makes me think and that brings me to a conclusion that, you know, maybe I wasn't anticipating.
Do you prefer comedy that makes you think or comedy that makes you feel?
I like to feel like I'm thinking. So if they can do that, I'm pretty impressed.
Even if you figure out later that...
That it was just a feeling.
It was a ruse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually I don't think enough about it to figure that out.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
Mild, medium, hot, or fire?
Are we talking about global warming?
Whatever you want.
Mild, medium, hot, or fire? I'm a medium kind of girl. It's just, I'm right, kind of right down the middle. I'm 5.5.
Out of 17?
I guess you could be 17 feet tall. I'm average, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So medium is where I feel most comfortable.
Let's talk about Angie versus Angelica.
Oh, good question. You go first.
I don't know if I've known any other Angelicas, but I used to know an Angie.
You knew an Angie. What did you think about
two
her?
Two Angies.
What were they like?
They were nice.
They were nice?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was definitely the adjective I would have used for Angie. She was very nice. That's a big question, Chris.
We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
I'm comfortable with it. It's just where to start.
I found that the beginning is a very fine place to start.
It is.
I think that's a movie quote, but I can't remember what movie.
I think it's a song, too.
It should be. Probably Bob Dylan.
The Sound of Music?
I think Bob Dylan from his album, The Sound of Music.
Okay. I gotta check that one out. I'm gonna write that down.
Not quite as good as by Pink Floyd for me.
But Sound of Music by Pink Floyd?
No, by Pink Floyd... by Bob Dylan.
Oh.
The album by Pink Floyd.
Okay. I have to check those out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so actually Angie is pretty different than Angelica. Angie was actually 5'4¾", and Angelica is 5'5½", which is crazy. I grew. Mm. And yeah, I think Angie was kind of, she definitely is more kind of personified by what I was talking about before I got into performance and comedy, someone who was a lot more unconfident and shy. I kind of led with like self-doubt when I was Angie. I would consider her more of quote-unquote a basic bitch, which is no offense to other Angies. This is not about the name Angie. It's just kind of about me, as most things are. Now that I go by Angelica, I'm much more comfortable having things be about me.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah, Angelica is just like, I think it's a big name to live into. So it's been interesting 2 years of kind of figuring out who she is and what she's about. She's just like, you know, much more confident and kind of assertive in ways that I honestly don't feel comfortable with. So I kind of put on that persona when I have to go into situations that make me nervous, or, you know, kind of try to negotiate something or stand up for myself, shit like that. So Angie was a great person, but she was the kind of person who would sit at a party in the corner, and people who were sitting immediately next to her would be like, it really entertained. And I got a lot of like, oh my God, did you know that you're really funny? Like a lot of people were discovering me like at every party I was at. And because I just didn't put myself out there that much. So Angelica is just more comfortable to be, you know, at the front of the stage if she needs to be. And
in the spotlight?
In the spotlight, yeah. Yeah.
In the limelight? I think that's the same thing.
Yeah, it might be. It might be the same thing.
Someone once told me it's because they used to use like burning lime to light the stage.
Oh, really?
I don't know if that's true, but
you've heard a lot of things.
Yeah. But I don't know if any of it's true.
Yeah. I don't know how you would find out.
First-hand experience.
Yeah. If you could go back in time.
Yeah.
That'd be the way.
Or, well, even videos now, they can be faked pretty easily. There's some AI now that you read a few things and then it can replicate your voice. Ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so we can find out about limelight?
No, it's AI. Just, that's you never just... know. Ever if it's
real.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah, the whole origin of existence could just be a fabrication.
Well, yeah, it's a sobering reality. Yeah, so and my mom's name was Angelica as well, and so but she went by Angie. So when I was a kid, they called me Little Angie, and they called her Big Angie, and that's just how I grew up. And then I went to Germany two years ago in 2015 in the fall over my birthday with my grandma, who's one of my closest friends. And I got to meet all of my family, my aunts and uncles and my mom's cousins. And my mom passed away like 8 years ago, so I don't really know her that well. But she was, they all, you know, her name is Angelika in German. And so for 2 weeks they called me that, and I came back from Germany and I just couldn't go by Angie anymore. It wasn't who I was. So it was a pretty stark transition for me, but it's been, I don't know if it's uphill or downhill ever since. I think I heard it was supposed to be downhill. Like it hasn't gotten easier, but it's gotten better.
So it's probably uphill.
I would think so. Yeah.
Better views.
I think that's how the phrase goes, but.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Ein bisschen.
I don't know what that means.
It just means a little.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't speak any German when I went to Germany, which was, you know, mildly humiliating for me. I think the worst moment I had was getting out of the car to pump gas and trying to, like, hurry my 86-year-old grandma to get out of the car fast so that she could talk to the attendant.
Schnell.
Yeah. I was speaking English
to
her.
That's German for hurry up.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So I got out of the car, and the only thing I could think to say was, American! So that, I felt really bad for America when I did that, you know.
English would have been,
I could have just said, like, I don't speak German, you know. Instead, I, like, threw you guys all under the bus. So, sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Far worse things have been done to the American reputation.
That's true. That is true. I don't know why I hold myself to such a high standard.
Yeah. Question for the ages.
That is.
Let's talk about your job.
My job?
Yep.
Do you know what it is?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, vaguely. I know some things that you've done.
Okay.
Like the SXSW, South by Southwest.
Yes.
That was well publicized on the Facebook.
By me?
Partially.
Okay. That was like my third week of work.
And that was with Mayor Bliss?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I work for an organization that's called Creative Many Michigan. And we are a statewide organization that advocates for the creative industries in Michigan. So we're kind of trying to level up opportunity, level up visibility and access to creative jobs and creative people and places. So our project at South by Southwest is called Michigan House, and we go down there. They've been doing it for, this will be our fourth year, and it happens in March. And so we go down with a big cohort of people who kind of use that platform as a way to connect with other creators, innovators, filmmakers, musicians, interactive, you know, technical people. And we put on somewhat of a show to kind of present Michigan in its best light and bring some of Michigan's thought leadership to the surface. So
Tim Allen?
Tim Allen? No, that's a good, that's a good point. He's never been down there with us.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's odd.
It is odd.
In my opinion.
I think you're right.
Hmm.
I hope he listens to this.
Maybe he has warrants.
Maybe.
In my opinion.
In your opinion, maybe a question. He has warrants.
I'm allowed to ask questions.
Yeah, I think so.
Even if they're leading.
Yeah.
There was like the John McCain presidential run in like 2012, I think. His opponents had like a survey company call a bunch of people asking like, would you think less of John Cain if you knew he had like a illegitimate mixed race child? Even though he doesn't,
right?
They just asking people that question like planted the seed, like does he?
Yeah.
And he lost by not a large margin there.
Damn.
It was a controversy that just kind of when he was writing the history books and all.
Well, that makes me nervous about what you're going to say when you promote this episode.
Ooh. Let's not think about that.
Okay. I won't go there. But
would you like another beer?
Sure. That'd be delightful.
Want the same thing? I've got Mosaic Thomas.
Oh, is that the Art Prize beer from 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago? Yeah. Sure, I'll try that. I haven't had it in a while. No, thank you.
Oktoberfest?
I will have the Mosaic Promise. I'm pretty committed. What did you think of this Pilsner?
Of what?
The Pilsner.
It was good.
It's a good
Pilsner.
It's good, yeah. Thank you.
Not my favorite Pilsner.
Not your favorite Pilsner, yeah. Lagunitas. Yeah. Czech style Pilsner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I paid with cash, though.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
I didn't use a check.
Oh. I forgot that was a form of currency.
Checks.
Or not currency, but exchange
ways
of...
ways to pay things.
Debt? I don't know. It's 2017.
It is.
I don't know anything.
About checks. That's fine. You know about other things.
Allegedly.
In my opinion, at least.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be a comedian?
What does it mean to be a comedian?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure it means a lot of things to a lot of different people. But I think it means that your job is to find the funny. So find and translate the funny.
Should I add to you to the end of that question? What does it mean to be a comedian to you?
I don't think so, because I felt like a lot of power in being able to answer it for everyone. So I prefer to keep it the way it was. Yeah.
I'm going to add female empowerment to the resume of the Grandcast.
All right. Good.
Great.
Yeah. And you could potentially add me as one of the people that you made their day better.
Oh.
But I'm going to hold out till the end of the episode.
So I can't check...
Not yet.
Yeah. Oh.
No, but maybe you could start to write the check mark. You'd have to come back to it, though.
Just the tip of it?
You could start at either end.
Hmm.
That's really
That's not
up
how
to
I
you.
Draw my checks, but I guess I could.
Really? But you don't know a lot about checks, so I don't know if I would trust the way you draw them.
Is it called Chechia now? Is that the same as the Czech Republic?
That's probably a way to pronounce it in another language, or maybe in their language.
I thought it changed, like the official one changed again.
Really?
I don't know.
I haven't kept up on it.
Another thing I don't know.
It doesn't make its way to my Facebook feed. I think I have a real low stream of news getting to me.
Good. That's smart.
It makes me stressed out. I think I'm missing a lot.
No, you should feel less stressed because the things you're missing out on are largely unimportant.
Really?
Yeah.
But how would you, either of us know that if we don't know what they are?
Well, if it's important, probably someone will tell you.
Yeah. You have to have a lot of trust in people, which Angie
or just
did.
Have
Angie
a,
had a
or
lot
just
of
have
trust
a large number of people.
Who say it's important?
Yeah. If you hear it from a bunch of people, then probably. Well, I guess it depends on the people, right?
Right. I know.
Because they could be, I don't want to say Trump supporters, but.
But in your opinion, they could be Trump supporters.
They probably voted for Donald Trump, the president.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much about him, but.
You're lucky. The liberal media has just been smearing the hell out of our glorious leader. It's been tough to hear those libtard cucks expressing such disdain for our elected official.
Yeah.
Who should be respected.
I wonder what the etymology of tard cucks is.
Libtard.
Libtard. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, I was trying to...
It's a combination of the words liberal and retard,
okay.
I believe.
And then cucks?
Cuck is short for cuckold.
Oh, and that's just a bad word.
It is a man whose wife is unfaithful. Either with or without his consent.
Oh.
Because there's a whole other thing that's... we shouldn't talk about it.
Really? I'm going to have to look that up. With or without his consent.
Sometimes it's consensual.
The unfaithfulness?
Yes.
Is it called unfaithfulness, though, if it's consensual?
I think it's called cuck fantasy, based on my understanding of the
I would like to see
genre.
Your browser history. I'm going to write.
This comes from social media.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't get this kind of news into my world. It's like...
Reddit is a cesspool of humanity.
Yeah. That's
like,
nice for you to call it humanity.
My problem is I read the comments.
You do.
And... It's just, it's marginally better than YouTube comments, which I also have spent time reading.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I am very impressionable, so I have to stay away from that kind of stuff.
Yeah. The human condition is just, it's tough.
It's tough.
2017, it's tough.
I know. There's so much access.
There's so many people trying to push things different ways. It's... And there's a lot of trolls. It's just, it's a mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
I know. I miss it. I miss when trolls were fun, you know?
The little figures with the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My friend Stacy, she has been close friend mentors, I would say, to a troll named Lydia for, probably going on 10 years. I think they met in college.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not a doll.
She's a doll. She's a troll doll. Her name's Lydia. She has a Facebook page.
Lydia the troll?
The troll, yeah. Yeah.
What color hair? Can I ask that?
You can ask, yeah. I believe it's blonde, but it might be considered white. I don't know. It's somewhere. It's pretty light.
I don't know where to go from there.
Yeah, that's a tough one to follow.
What is the best gift that you have ever received?
Oh, other than the invitation to do this podcast?
It's up to you to interpret the...
These are some hard-hitting questions, my goodness. The best gift I've ever received... probably, my uncle helped me go to Germany. He helped pay for that trip, so that was probably the best gift I got.
Did you have schnitzel?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What about Spätzle?
Yeah, we went to the Spätzle house.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. In Hanover.
Did you sample the beer there? Were you of age? Well, I guess it's Germany, so...
It was like 2 years ago, so yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I did. That was when I found out what kind of beer I liked.
I don't know how old you are, so I don't want to assume, and I don't want to ask, because apparently that's impolite.
I appreciate that.
That's a social convention for... I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense.
We could say how old we are at the same time. Or how old we think each other is. What do you want? How do you want to do this?
Yeah. Let's do that one.
That one?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're older than me, but only by a margin.
Hmm. Are you trying to manipulate my guess? Oh, are we going to count
down? We're going to count down and then guess how old we think the other person is.
3, 2, 1, say?
Yeah.
So after one, there's another beat, and then on that...
I'll take your lead.
3, 2, 1, and then...
The number.
The guess.
Okay.
Using base 10. I don't want to assume your numbering system.
Oh, okay. Thank you. We're not rounding, though, right?
Not everyone uses base 10. Some people are binary.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh. It's quite interesting. We use base 10 because we have 10 fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to the 10th one, you roll over.
Yeah.
To
and another decimal place. And what would it mean place. If you were binary? Using binary.
10 would be 1010. Because in binary, the highest digit you can get to in the decimal place is 1. Because it's base 2.
Okay.
So the first digit is to the second power.
So if I thought you were 32.
To the second power, which is 1. So if the first digit is a 0, it's a 0. If the first digit is a 1, it's 1. Then if you get to 2, then it rolls over. So then it's a 1-0. Because the second decimal place
Chris
is...
Nichols, who knew you were this smart?
Computer science. Binary is great. Hexadecimal is even better.
Okay, do you want to guess?
Oh, yeah. 3, 2, 1, 27. 32. Close. 33.
I'm 30. Oh. 1. I just had a birthday.
I think I probably saw you do I Just Turned 30 as a stand-up bit.
Yeah, I couldn't get away from it. It's a lot. It's a lot of what I'm thinking about these days. Not so much right now, but before I turned 31, it was on my mind.
It's only because you have 10 fingers. If we had 8 fingers, it wouldn't even matter.
It wouldn't even matter, yeah.
Nope, it's all just an arbitrary rotation around the sun. So.
Yeah, other than the fact that like my body has changed pretty significantly in the past 2 years. Like, I think I might. I would, if I could get my hip replaced, I would do it. No problem right now.
Your hip?
Yeah.
Oh.
I would love to get a new hip.
My grandpa got a new hip. He loves it.
How does he feel? He probably feels great, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for me to wait 30 years.
No. Well, I don't know how long they last.
Well, I'll get another one.
Oh. Probably a better one in
yeah.
15 years or 30 years, whatever.
I didn't really know how muscles worked. I went to the physical therapist last fall, and they taught me a lot of things, including that you can build muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any muscle.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. I just started getting weaker and just, you know.
No yoga?
Dealt with it. I think about yoga a lot.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Innocently. You looked at me kind of weird there. I felt some judgment.
No, that was you.
Oh.
That was you.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about yoga that way, though.
Hmm.
Do you do yoga? You have a yoga mat on your ground? On your ground? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Indoors?
I do yoga-esque.
Mm.
Just like, it's a nice platform compared to the hard floor for stretches and
stretches.
Exercises.
That's good.
Of various natures.
Yeah.
But nothing formal. I don't like formality.
No?
No.
Do you like to sweat?
Depends on the context.
Okay.
In an innocent way. What is the best gift that you have ever given?
Oh, I wish they could see the look on your face.
Probably red.
The best gift I've ever given. I think I used to be a pretty good gift giver, but I've really slowed down the last 5 years. So probably, I don't know, I surprised my little brother with like a car full of balloons when he was in high school. He came back from Chicago, and he was, I don't know, he was turning like 17 or something. I filled his truck with balloons.
Helium?
No, I blew them all up.
Oh.
Myself.
Oh, I thought he liked Whippets. Oh, that's not helium. That's nitrous oxide.
If I could have afforded it. Yeah, there was a helium shortage at that time, actually.
Yeah.
It's just crazy that there's only so much helium in the environment.
One time I heard that like once helium is released into the atmosphere, it just rises up in outer space and escapes forever. It's just gone.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or if that's just propaganda from big helium to drive pricing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they're going to tell anyone, it should be you because you repeat almost everything you've heard.
It sounds plausible. Yeah. So,
yeah. I like it. This is good info that, in your opinion, could be true.
Yeah. I'm very easy to manipulate, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Easy to inform.
Something like that. Who are some of your role models?
Who are some of my role models in real life? People I know.
However you would like to interpret the question.
Probably the closest role model I have in my immediate life that I see and speak to is my grandma, my Oma Josie. She's 88 and she just stopped working last year because she broke her wrist. So she goes to the gym twice a week and is kind of like, she is the mayor of Lake Lochbray, as she told us when we were kids, which is where a lake that she lives on that has no jurisdiction, no governance, but she's a self-identified mayor.
Hmm.
And yeah, she's like kind of the model of aging for me. And since I grew up working with older adults, I've been kind of conscious of the, you know, length and pattern of life. So I usually am drawn to people who choose to see things in a positive way, to kind of make the best of any situation. So she's an example of that for me. Outside of people that I know personally, Shonda Rhimes is a huge role model for me, and mostly because her kind of philosophy about life and kind of saying yes and not waiting until you feel like you're ready or feel like you're good enough has been pretty significant for me. I used to say Oprah, which I think I feel bad not saying because, you know, if she ever heard this, I wouldn't know how to talk my way out of it. But I don't know if I'd say that anymore now that she's kind of expanded her brand in some ways that I, you know, just don't like congeal with me.
It's good for the economy.
Her brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that.
She's a job creator.
She is. Yeah, that's what that's kind of my, Mayor Bliss is a role model for me, actually. She's really brave. I think her platform focusing on equity and kind of trying to face some of the injustice that exists in our world and focused on, you know, elevating that conversation in Grand Rapids, I think is really important, particularly when the answers aren't clear. So yeah, I'm usually attracted to people who are interested in kind of entertaining and kind of living with life's big questions. So whether or not they have answers for them, being able to explore evolution is, those are usually the people that I'm, and I mean evolution in more of like a
Darwinian
transcendent
manner?
Kind of way.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Survival of the fittest in like people who are most willing to adapt kind of, you know, to
Darwinian.
Changing environment. Yeah. 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 So not the fittest. I'm really interested in evolution. In a modern context.
Sociological evolution?
Yeah, you could say that.
Anthropological?
I don't know the difference.
Me neither.
I don't know the difference. I got a liberal arts education, so that just means a little bit of everything, and I don't remember most of it.
Let's talk about Holiday Bar.
Okay.
I don't go there very often, and not every time, but most of the times that I go, you're there, so I feel like you know more about it than I do, and it's a pretty significant component of the Grand Rapids comedy scene.
Okay.
So what's going on there?
At the Holiday Bar?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, the Holiday Bar is a place that I just found out about probably less than 6 months ago, They have a monthly or a weekly show of some sort, either open mic or a late night show that's now hosted by Stu McAllister. And they have a show where they watch bad movies. So, yeah, I think the Holiday Bar is an interesting place. I do spend a good amount of time there for reasons unknown. And I think it's interesting. I really am a fan of the West Side. I don't live over there, but I think it's a kind of vibrant community that is very different than the places I do live. And so the Holiday Bar is kind of a staple in that environment. And I think, I don't know. I think the comedy is an interesting facet there, because it draws people to that neighborhood that might otherwise not go there, which you're nodding vigorously, which means that's the reason you probably go over there.
More for the Monarch Club, but
okay, yeah. So yeah, the Holiday Bar is interesting. It's a boring word. I've said it too many times, but if you've been there on the weekends, they have DJs and
it gets turned up.
It does.
Like, it gets rowdy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I don't usually dance there when I go there. A few times I have, but I am a huge fan of dancing on the weekends. And I don't know, the Holiday Bar actually reminds me of a lot of places I went to in Chicago that just felt like just a good mix of different kinds of people and people who mix and mingle and meet. You know, I think a lot of Grand Rapids bars, maybe not as much today, but when I was first here, it was a lot more kind of insulated. You know, people go to the bar with their friends and sit at the same table. And I've always been a fan of mingling and kind of just bumping into people, because I like the kind of magic that happens when you are in unexpected situations. So, yeah, so the Holiday Bar is an example of that, but I think the West Side in general is kind of in a moment of transition too, and I think that bar has a unique opportunity to kind of be a resting place for that culture. So, but I probably think more about it than people at the Holiday Bar too.
So they do like one night or one week. Well, one night per week per month.
Mondays. Always Mondays.
And one of those Mondays is an open mic. One's a talk show. One's a,
like a roasting.
Film roasting.
Mm-hmm. Two of them are open mics, actually.
Two of them are open mics. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just sign up like day of?
No, I think ahead of time. Yeah. You have to email Mike Logan.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing stand-up there mostly?
I have done it there once. And I'm really in a big moment of transition for myself, trying to push myself out to more open mics.
It's not that many in town.
There aren't that many in town.
Have you done Tip Top?
I haven't yet.
Ooh, no. Every Tuesday, 9 p.m.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, I need to talk to Brittany and Jordan. That's kind of my next stop. But I've been traveling to the east side of the state the last couple of months and doing some of Mike Ball's shows over, I don't know if you know him, over in...
Is he a juggler?
He's not. He probably could. He's pretty much a jack of all trades.
Oh.
But he's a comedian over on, like, in the Saginaw area.
And oh.
He hosts a show called The Future of Comedy.
The Future of Comedy?
Yeah.
It seems pretty...
It's a big claim.
I don't know the right word to describe what that's like.
I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I've been going over there a couple of times, which has been interesting. I really actually like doing comedy outside of Grand Rapids. Since I'm so new, it's nice to be with, like, actual strangers. That was part of my challenge starting improv, even at Palm. I noticed that I was, like, really eager at first when I didn't know anyone and felt like I could fail and it didn't matter. And then I started making friends with people and I saw myself quickly sit in the crowd. So it's taken a lot of time for me to kind of work out those kinks, you know, those growing pains of being in progress with people that you respect, you know. Not that I don't respect strangers, but they're strangers, you know, so you don't have to think too much about their opinion.
You care that much about what people think?
Evidently.
Oh.
I think Angie does, actually.
Ah.
So it's like a shedding process.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's a weird word.
Shedding?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
You're not it's putting pretty something accurate. In a shed.
I should write it down. I saw you look at my piece of paper.
No. I didn't. Well, I might have glanced. Might have glazed over it, but it was never
a focal
point.
You could tell. I need to
point.
Talk to Trisha about that. Trisha's my therapist.
Oh.
Yeah. I feel like shedding is a good topic
like
for
putting
us.
Things into a shed?
No, like a snake. Like shedding a layer of skin, I guess, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought that was molting. Maybe that's birds. When
I
they
don't
lose
know.
Their fur, their feathers.
I'll do
I almost
a,
said
I'll,
fur.
I'll do a comma molting. Probably should do a semicolon, actually. I'll look both of them up.
I would have used just a comma.
Just
I'm not. Comma. I'm terrible at like grammar, though.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm just saying that's what I would have used.
Yeah, I think you would have been wrong, but I also think that it's subjective. So
there's a good chance that I would have been wrong.
Mm-hmm. It depends on who's judging you, but in this case, it's me.
Someone makes those rules. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is it consensus? That seems pretty fair.
Yeah, that's the thing I like about writing is that there are rules, but then you can break them and you can say that it's stylistic. It's a stylistic choice.
Hmm.
You know,
but you're wrong based on
not necessarily
rules.
Not necessarily though.
You're just ahead of your time.
Yeah, exactly.
Which might never come.
Your time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's wrong.
Yeah, and if you're always getting, if you're always getting ahead of it too.
Oh yeah, if you're
probably
shifting.
Stand still for a second.
Hmm. What are some of your favorite restaurants in Grand Rapids, and what do you like to order there?
I don't like that word favorite.
What are some of the restaurants that you frequent in Grand Rapids?
Okay, that's more concrete for me. What do I frequent?
It's a mix of stone and powder that turns into a solid substance.
Frequent?
You said it would be more concrete.
Concrete. Oh, okay. Yes. Restaurants that I frequent. I have a pretty bad... palate. I'm kind of my favorite foods are like what your kindergartner would kick and scream for.
Foie gras?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm just thinking of hypothetical
kindergartners.
Yep. It's 2017.
It is. I've enjoyed Butcher's Union. Lately.
Oh.
Yes.
Never been there.
You
haven't
been there? It's good. No. Their menu changes, but they have a really good salmon spread, actually. I like appetizers. You don't like salmon?
I don't like fish.
Okay. All right.
Generally.
They have good brunch food, too. So that's a big, big meal for me. I think that Social Kitchen's brunch is good.
Where is that?
At the downtown market.
Oh. I don't go there.
You don't go there? Like on principle?
They charge for parking.
Mm-hmm.
And the street parking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And
you could walk there from here. We should walk there from here sometime.
It's all uphill on the way back.
That's a slight hill. On this side, it's all right.
I
I'm
like
not
gonna Tacos El Cunado, but
okay.
I would go to the one on Burton. The one on Burton.
Okay.
Instead of
so many of
that
them.
One.
So many options there.
Yeah. There's just nothing in downtown market. Like, Slow's it's all right,
mm-hmm.
but I'd rather go to, like, Two Scots or Pit Stop or...
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I think you beat me on opinions.
There's a new pho place, or a Vietnamese restaurant. They probably don't just serve pho, because I remember seeing pictures of banh mi
mm-hmm.
sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Where's that?
Downtown Market.
Oh,
so I'll probably go check that out.
All right.
That does sound good to me.
I live right around the corner.
From Downtown Market?
From you.
Oh.
People don't know where you live, so I won't say anything else.
Thank you for respecting my privacy
and
anonymity.
If anyone learns where Chris lives, I live right around the corner.
Don't even suggest it.
That you live somewhere? I won't talk about it anymore.
It's all right. People that need to know.
He lives in an apartment.
Yep.
A place that he uses as an apartment.
Yep.
And I live right around the corner.
Yep. What is your favorite thing about performing comedy?
Oh, I think my favorite thing is I get to be a version of myself that I don't usually see, but who I think is probably like the most authentic version of myself, which has been exciting. And I'm still trying to find that thing, because I think that's why I like performing at Funny Girls shows so much, because our audience is so supportive that I feel really comfortable to take a lot of risks. And so I've seen myself kind of in you know, videos I've watched, or in retrospect, just feeling like just very like the biggest version of myself. And so actually really, I didn't think I answered your question earlier about what I like to watch, but I really like to watch improv, because I feel like I'm the most surprised by improv. And I'm usually very generous with my attention. And so I'm like, that's my favorite thing about comedy, is being able to be in my imagination in ways that I'm a very serious person and I do a pretty serious job. So being able to kind of take myself out of that has been my favorite part.
Have you seen the Coen Brothers film, A Serious Man?
I have not. Would you recommend it?
I would.
I will write it down. A Serious...
I think that's what it's called.
Man, I feel like if I Google that, it'll probably give me pretty close.
I'm going to look it up.
Coen Brothers.
Is that how it's pronounced? Coen? C-O-H-N?
Coen. I think it's Coen.
Cohen?
But like, it's subtle. Coen. Like, almost like you're going to start yawning. Coen.
It is called A Serious Man.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to add it to my list.
It's not a funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a weird story, like most of the Coen Brothers films, where maybe there wasn't too much absurdity in that one. It was just a snapshot of someone's life as it got really...
serious.
Weird.
Mm. I feel like I would like that.
Yeah. They showed that at Wealthy Theater over the summer.
Oh, okay.
On Tuesdays.
Like Tuesday series?
Yeah, they do a Meanwhile movie series.
How much are those?
$6.
Ooh.
Or $5 if you're a member, which costs $12 a year.
But...
if you're a member, you can purchase alcohol.
That's so smart.
From the member bar.
Best membership model I've ever heard.
Yeah. We got Two-Hearted and me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you're a member, you can also use the Community Media Center.
I haven't done that.
Yeah.
You have
your own podcast equipment.
They have different levels of membership that allow you different privileges.
They do. But I think even at the base level, maybe it's $30. I don't know. I shouldn't speak without researching it.
Go to their website. That's a definitive proof of what exists.
Exactly. What they're saying, at least.
According to their webmaster,
mm-hmm.
who may or may no longer be employed.
Are you a webmaster of any webs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What do you master?
Webs.
Webs?
Yes.
Okay.
Various things.
Various content management systems.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite?
WordPress, just because I've used it for so long. Oh, favorite. I would say my favorite is just raw HTML.
Dang.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what a little girl said to me on Cherry Street when I was going to get this beer. Because I ran my car
raw
into
HTML?
The curb. No, she said, dang.
Oh, that makes more sense.
I ran my car into the curb.
Oh.
Yeah.
Intentionally?
Just a little bit. No, I just missed. I didn't back up enough.
What's your prescription like? You're wearing glasses.
My glasses? Yeah, oh, it's just... strong. It's very strong.
What?
You know, I haven't bought new contacts, at least I haven't been looking at it. It's like probably like 2.75 on one side on a 10 base scale, and
like the numbers that they give you,
2.75. Yeah, and the other one I think is like 2.25 maybe. That's not that strong?
I'm like a 4.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I'm not trying to brag or anything.
Do you have an astigmatism?
Yeah.
Do you? How many?
I haven't asked that question.
They would tell you, I think. But you wear glasses, so maybe they don't talk about it as much as they do. I usually wear contacts.
Oh, I used to? Not worth it.
Huh.
It increases your risk of eye infection significantly.
Hmm.
And glasses protect your eyeballs from debris.
Yeah. Debris, yeah.
Yep. It's
a big deal. How old were you when you got glasses or contacts?
Fifth grade.
Fifth grade, oh.
Yep.
It was fourth grade, Mrs. Vandenberg.
Hmm.
I got contacts in sixth grade, though, which I was pretty proud of. It takes a mature child to wear contacts in sixth grade.
That's a risky move by your parents to allow that, mm-hmm. given the general level of hygiene of younger people.
I don't know that they were really paying that much attention. Oh. But the woman who taught me how to put them on at the RX Optical had really long fingernails.
Oh.
And that was the most terrifying part of the experience. Because she like put them on my eye the first time.
One time someone told me that RX is short for prescription.
That is true.
Oh.
I think the person who told you that was correct.
Sometimes it happens.
That's the first time I've known that about something you've been told.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which just means the overlap of our information isn't that rich. But that's good.
Cornucopia of sources.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you listen. You lure your listener.
Unfortunately.
That seems like a good skill.
Sometimes. Sometimes not. What's your favorite thing about watching comedy?
My favorite thing about watching comedy?
As an audience member.
As an audience member.
Or if you're watching like on your TV by yourself, are you still an audience member? I think so.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you'd say a consumer. That's kind of a...
Should I say observing comedy?
I don't know. Maybe you would want to talk to an editor about
that. I don't have that kind of budget.
No.
Mm-mm.
I'm comfortable answering it as an audience member.
What about, what's your favorite thing about observing comedy?
That makes me feel like I'm watching a mime or something. I don't know.
No voyeuristic things?
Oh, I don't mind.
Yeah,
no.
That wasn't a trigger?
I'm over that. No, that was okay. That was just a moment in time. My favorite thing about watching comedy is, you know, similar to the other question, I think being surprised and being kind of introduced to new ideas, like people's brains all work super differently. So
yeah, they do.
Yeah. So I just like that kind of window into someone's thinking that comedy presents.
Hmm.
For someone who has a short attention span like me.
What?
You weren't paying attention earlier when I said I had a short attention span? Or do you just not remember?
That was a bit.
Yeah, I know. I was...
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That's okay. I'll write it down.
Final question of the interview portion of the show. What was that?
That was a whistle.
Oh.
I'm an avid whistler.
I thought your cell phone went off.
Oh, no.
I can't see your mouth because of the pop filter.
Oh, yeah. No, I was whistling. I also play a mean mouth trumpet, if you're interested.
You'll have an opportunity after this question.
Oh, okay. I'll save it.
Thank you. If you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
Shut up.
I haven't had time yet to set up a musical transition into the break. So okay. If you wouldn't mind, please playing mouth trumpet and then ringing the bell once you're done so I know to stop it, okay. Please.